Hello, GWA. This is Cute from Cute and Geek, and I am procrastinating very hard, so I decided to do Texan Guys Broad Spectrum Questionnaire. So, yeah, the first question is, what is an average everyday task or thing that you do that may be interpreted or seen as sexy by someone else? So I don't really know anything that I do on the day-to-day that would be particularly sexy, but I do tend to walk around the apartment, like, half-clothed or naked. So, I mean, obviously if someone was watching that, I feel like it would be a bit sexual. Other than that, like, my work stuff is not sexy. Unless you have a thing for disposable non-latex gloves, and then I would be your girl. Okay, number two, what is more dangerous for society, anti-intellectualism or pseudoscience? Why? So this is a super tough one. I've been going on a pretty intense war against pseudoscience lately, so that's my knee-jerk response. But I do think it's probably better that people want to think about stuff, but choose to believe the wrong thing or go to the wrong sources, than just outright not wanting to learn, just saying, like, what I know is what I know, and that's that. So yeah, I guess that would be worse. I guess anti-intellectualism would be worse, because it's easier to convince someone to read credible sources than it is to convince someone to read anything at all. But I have a lot of family members that have fallen into the pseudoscience trap, so that has been a bit frustrating for me, just trying to be like, no, these are the right, go to these sources, that is not legitimate, do this. Especially since I can understand, like, scientific articles, whereas obviously I wouldn't expect everybody to understand that, so then trying to find credible sources that aren't, like, just go read this peer-reviewed academic article. But yeah, anyways, they're both awful, but anti-intellectualism, I guess, would be worse. It's harder to combat. What is your preference for a partner's pubic hair situation? What is your preference for your partner's hair overall? So, I guess this depends on the context of the contact. So if it's just for sex, I guess it doesn't matter so much. If you want blowjobs, grooming is mandatory. And I do have a bit of a preference for like fully shaved, and the same would go for if you want to take like sexy pictures or something, grooming is preferred. As for hair in general, just like keep it tidy, like, you know, whatever, like arm leg hairs, whatever. I don't think anyone grooms that, like, that's a guy. Chest hair is like nice to have, but it's like nice if it's not like some crazy wild forest. I'm not the biggest fan of, like, ungroomed back hair. Beards are nice. Obviously, like, a head of hair is nice. But yeah, I mean, it depends on, like, I'd probably be more picky if it was, like, just a sex situation, you know? Like, if you don't have any feelings for the person and you're just, like, hooking up for sex, then I feel like you can be a bit more like, I don't know. Like, I mean, if someone has hair on their back and they like shave it, but then they get busy and they don't shave it for like a month, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm sorry, we're breaking up. If I actually care about them or ever really, I don't know. I guess I'm not super picky about my preferences, but I prefer body hair to be kept clean and tidy. And I prefer pubic hair to be kept like super clean and tidy. So yeah. What sort of dance styles do you have experience in? What are you best, which are you best at / like the most? If you don't know how to dance, what would you learn to dance? So dancing is not my forte. I don't know if taking 1 year of ballet at the age of 4 counts as experience. Probably not. I know nothing about ballet. I know how to do that little like cherry pie thing that you do when you're a little kid, if any of you did ballet, but other than that, I have no ballet skill. I am a pro at super lame car dance moves, though, and at jumpy, crazy apartment dancing. So, I mean, are those dance styles? 'Cause I could go to the Olympics for that. But in terms of learning, I think salsa would be cool, mainly because there was a solid year of my life that I would drunkenly try to salsa dance. Also, I don't know if this counts as a dance style, but I think pole dancing classes would be really cool, but not because I have stripper aspirations, but mostly just because I think it would be so awesome to be able to get that strong, to just like lift yourself up and flip upside down and twirl. I feel like I'd be really proud of myself if I learned how to do that. So yeah, I guess salsa and pole dancing is what I would learn. What was the last thing you did that you felt embarrassed by, either in private or public? I don't know. I guess I asked someone for help at work. Not like help as in asking them to do something for me. I just was trying to make a decision and had some conflicting like ideas thrown at me, and I was trying to make sense of it. And so I asked someone that had been around longer what they would do, and then they just told me that I needed to learn to use my own judgment, which I guess it's fair, but the way they said it implied like I hadn't even tried to solve the problem on my own and that I was just being stupid, which was a little embarrassing because I feel like I already have like a massive case of imposter syndrome when it comes to work, and then stuff like that just makes me feel like so mortified. But yeah. Let's say you've started to notice your hair thinning and you've come to the realization you were balding. What would you do? What would you do if your partner was balding? So I have like relatively long hair right now, and it's quite thick. And once upon a time, I made the mistake of cutting it shorter, and it looked so awful. So I can only imagine what I would look like with no hair at all, which would be extra awful. So what I would do is I think maybe it's easier for girls because our hair is already long to begin with. I think if your hair starts thinning, you can pull it off for a little longer. So I'd probably pull it off for as long as it still looked normal, and then I would probably buy a wig. I don't think I would rock the shaved head. However, for a partner, I like hair, but you know, a lot of guys lose hair. Like it's pretty common. It's happened to many people in my family, and honestly, it's not the end of the world. Like, what can you do, right? I would never tell them to go and get like hair plugs or try hair treatments or something like that. I would just like keep They can keep their hair for as long as they want to. If it starts getting to a point that it's really obvious, I might suggest like, "Hey, you know, do you wanna just get rid of it?" But yeah, I don't know. I guess it would sort of be up to them, but I wouldn't be like, "Oh, game over. This relationship has run its course. You no longer have hair." But hair is nice. But you know, I think you kind of have to expect that maybe a guy won't have hair for their entire life. Okay. Is it ever okay to be arrogant and snobbish when you know you are right? So obviously I feel the answer to this would be no, but I also think that that's maybe a bit unrealistic to expect someone to never be like, "Haha, I was right." And I would never hold it against someone. I'd hold it against someone if you were like that all the time, and I've known people like that where it just comes off as being like horribly rude and conceited and pretentious. But if every now and then you're just like a little, I don't know, like maybe I'm saying it's okay just because I know that I do it sometimes and I'm trying not to feel like a bad person. But there are times but usually it's when someone argues with me about something that I would obviously know more about, like they'll argue with me about stuff that I'm doing at work, when they aren't in my field and don't know anything about it. And then they'll make like a big deal and it'll be this big discussion. And then at the end, they'll be like, oh, you were right. And I don't do it this extremely, but I kind of want to be like, yeah, no shit. It's what I do all the time. Of course I'm right. I don't even know why you put up such a fight about this. And so I feel like sometimes in those cases, it's hard for me to just be like, oh, well, you know, whatever. We had a good discussion and we learned things. So I don't know. Maybe I'm a dick, but I don't think that when it comes out in other people occasionally, I don't think badly of them. I just, it's annoying if it's a persistent, constant character trait. What is the best sex toy slash accessory purchase you have ever made? Why? Definitely wrist restraints, hands down, or up, I guess. I'm not sure if this needs an explanation why. Like, I feel like it's pretty obvious. Like, I feel like there's a lot of guys that will pin your hands up above you, but then that obviously limits their range of motion. And so I just feel like if you like that kind of thing, the obvious next step would be like, hey, if I bought wrist restraints, my hands could be pinned, but they would have like ability to move around into a variety of positions. And so that just seemed like the logical next step. And so I took it. And it worked out. So yay. Okay. If you had to describe your body using three words or less, what words would you choose and why? I'm going to assume we're talking like physical descriptors, because you said body, not yourself. So I guess I would say petite and porcelain and healthy. So petite is, I guess, pretty obvious. I'm not short. I'm not super tall either, but I have pretty fine bone structure, and I have, it's actually kind of weird when I buy clothes because I have an abnormally small torso. Most of my height comes from my legs, which I guess is nice because it can make me look like I have, well, it doesn't make me look like I have really long legs. I do have long legs in comparison to my body. But it is weird if you buy dresses and the hem that's supposed to hit at the end of your torso is like hitting at the top of your hips because you have some weird munchkin torso. But anyways, I would say petite. Porcelain, because I'm pale. I'm super pale. I don't tan at all. I don't even get a ton of, I do get freckles in the summer, but I don't get freckles the way sort of your classic redhead. I don't have red hair, but just like redheads tend to be pale and they tend to have lots of freckles. But I don't freckle like that either. So I'm pretty consistently pale, but I feel like a lot of people use pale to mean like sickly or pasty. And so a lot of the time people will call me porcelain. Like, people will complain about being pale, and then I try to make them feel better, and I'm like, put your arm next to mine. You'll totally look tan. And then they go, no, but you're porcelain. I'm pale. And then I'm like, oh, I don't know how to help you then. But anyway, so yeah, porcelain. And then healthy. I don't know. I feel like sure, there's like some general basis, but I think that a lot of different people will have different ideas of what they classify as like skinny versus slim versus normal versus like chubby versus overweight. And so I don't know, it's hard to be able to universally put yourself in something like that. And it changes even for me as a person from day to day. Like, I feel like I'm pretty confident about my body, but I would say that very few people are 100% confident in their body. So, I mean, there'll be times that I look in the mirror and I'm like, yeah, that's great. Like, I'm totally on board with the way I look. And then there's other times that I'd be like, oh man, I could totally stand to lose like 5 pounds. But that's just coming from the basis of trying to look as attractive as I could be, right? Like, just like my idea of what attractive would be. But if someone were to ask me if I thought my body looked healthy, I would almost always say yes. Because I feel like I don't know, I feel like it is healthy. So I feel like that's a good descriptor, and also I feel like people should maybe focus on that more. But yeah. Also though, because the first two started with P, petite and porcelain, I really wanted a third P word, but I couldn't think of one. So if anyone knows any way to say healthy or any of that I explained with a P word, please let me know, because the only thing I can think of, and it's not really the same thing, but the only thing that's coming to mind is proportional, but I just described that I'm not proportional because I have a munchkin torso. So yeah. I also just realized that sounded really derogatory. I meant munchkin as in like a munchkin cat type thing. I didn't mean it like a derogatory term for dwarfism or anything like that. So if anyone is listening and was like, wow, what an asshole, I didn't mean it like that. And if anyone's listening has got to this part and it's like, unnecessary explanation, then I'm sorry. I just realized that it kind of made me sound like an asshole, but I didn't mean it. I was thinking of, I call my cat a munchkin all the time because it's tiny. So that's more where my head came. I was like, munchkin cat. Okay. Anyways, that was awkward. How do you feel about people who talk openly about their sexual exploits to you? Should they? Why or why not? I love it. I love it so much. And if anyone has, I don't know, I guess not a lot of people here know me, but if anyone has like listened to a bunch of my questionnaires or things that I comment, you probably guess that I just love hearing about people's lives, and I feel like hearing about people's sexploits is just so much fun. So I mean, should they talk about it? I think that there's a time and a place, and an audience. I mean, if you know that someone is super conservative or doesn't like talking about sex, like, don't force it on them, because that just makes them uncomfortable, and it's unnecessary, and it's sort of being rude. Also, like, if you're, like, I don't know what other people's relationships are with their bosses and stuff, but if I was, like, at a meeting at work with my boss, I wouldn't be like, hey, also, this weekend, you know what I did? So yeah, I obviously there's a time and a place. But yeah, if you're with your friends and you know that they're like, that they aren't gonna be made to feel like horribly uncomfortable by it, then I think that there's no problem at all. And I think even if people are maybe just like a touch uncomfortable about it, it might still be good to talk about it, because I think a lot of people sort of feel ashamed to talk about sex stuff, or like it has to be super private, and I feel like that's maybe not, I don't think that's a healthy mindset. I don't understand why so many people were brought up to feel like it's this like super secret thing when it's actually super natural. But yeah, I don't know. So I feel like you can maybe push the limits a little bit, but I wouldn't go out of my way to sort of intentionally make someone feel very uncomfortable. What is your morning routine like on most days? Hectic? Ish. I wake up with exactly 43 minutes until I have to catch the bus. And when my alarm goes off, I'm always like, I don't want to get up. And then I contemplate if I can go into work later, because my work schedule right now is a bit flexible. So if I decide, like, yeah, I can totally go in later, then I'll sleep another half hour. If no, then I, like, grab my phone, I clear the notifications on my phone, I check the weather, then I take way too long trying to figure out what I'm going to wear, and then, I know this sounds oddly specific, but it's actually like every single morning I'm like, check the weather, try to figure out what to wear. And then I'm like, I can't concentrate because I have to pee. And then I run and I pee and I flip the kettle on, and then I come back and I pick something to wear and I get dressed. And then I, like, the water boils, I pour it over oatmeal, and then I do my hair and makeup. Which doesn't really take me that long because I don't do much. And then at this time, I usually realize I have like 5 minutes before I have to leave. So I eat my oatmeal as fast as humanly possible, grab something random to put in my bag for lunch, and then grab my keys and then go to leave. And I know this makes me sound like a crazy cat lady, but I always say goodbye to the cat. But it's because, no, almost probably like 95% of the time, he'll run to the door when you leave and he'll just like stare at you through the crack in the door as you're closing it. And it just makes me feel so bad because I imagine him being like, "Why are you abandoning me?" And so even though he's not human, so doesn't really understand English, I will always be like, "Bye, I'll be back." Yeah, I'm a loser. But yeah, that's pretty much it. If I have a bit of extra time at the food eating stage, I might make like a travel mug of tea. But yeah, and not that any of you ever will, but if you ever interact with me in the morning, it's best to just don't talk to me. I'm not mean. Everything is such an exact amount of time that there's no room for conversation. And so if you try to talk to me, I'll just be like, gotta keep going, gotta keep going. So I'm not a good person to talk to while getting ready. And I know obviously the clear option here would be to wake up like 10 minutes earlier even. But I like sleep way too much. I will literally sleep until exactly as much time as I need. Yeah, okay. As of reading this questionnaire or recording it, take the last user you PM'd. Tell us what your name. Okay, so I don't answer PMs a lot, mainly because Geek and I are still trying to figure out like what level of communication is like cool for us. And so comments is obviously fine because they're super public. It's hard for things to like go weird, but PMs are more private, and so we're like trying to figure that one out. So mostly I just answer comments and then occasionally I'll answer PMs. So that doesn't really work. And yeah, I love all of you. I don't have a specific crush. All of you guys. So yeah, I guess that was a great scapegoat answer. I love everybody. No, I don't know. I haven't met anyone on here yet that is super annoying, so. But I haven't met very many people, so I guess luck of either you guys are all great or it's luck of the draw. But yeah. Okay. You can send a message in a bottle back in time to yourself. What age of you would you send it to and what would it say? So I think this is a tough one because I really firmly believe that every sort of tough point in my life taught me something. And that's not necessarily like a spiritual type of taught. I just mean like there were like concrete things that I learned about myself that I was able to take with me for the future. So I'd be worried about sending something back to myself that would negate those sort of learning processes because I think it was really important for personal growth and development. But there was like one particular time that was like especially awful. It was between the ages of 17 and 19. And it did end up teaching me a lot, and I feel like on the other end of it, I came through with like a greater appreciation of myself, but it took a long time. It was sort of a year and a half of a really bad situation. So if I could send something back to myself, I would probably still let the experience happen so that I could learn from it, but I would try to cut it shorter than what it really was. And I just send, I don't know. I feel like this is a really heavy way to end this questionnaire. I guess the message I'd send back would just be, you deserve better, you're stronger than you feel right now, and your life was meant for more than this. But yeah, I guess there's that. It feels weird to end on that. But anyways, if you listened, thanks for listening. Sorry that I was a bit scatterbrained. I thought I was in like a better headspace to do a questionnaire. Like I felt like I was going to be able to be pretty concise and stuff, but I guess I should never ever expect that from me. I'm way too much of a rambler and a tangent follower. So anyways, I don't even know how long this is. It is 25 minutes. Okay, I'll end it there. If anyone listened, thank you. Bye.